Welcome to the last edition for the year of Ghost Biz here on The Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and I get to chat to the finance ghost every week to find out what's going on the markets, both in South Africa and in Southern Africa. So Ghost, I'm sure even ghosts take holidays. You're looking forward to one. But let's first start out with Nampak's revenue growth. Share price down 8.5% over the last month. Packaging, often an indicator of what is expected to happen in the consumer sector because it's volume driven. Tell us a little bit about Nampak.
Hi, Gary, and to all the listeners. Yeah, end of year is upon us. Even ghosts take small breaks, although only really when the market news kind of calms down to nothing, which, to be honest with you, is only just after Christmas. So it's I'll certainly be keeping my eyes out for the usual story. Every year, there's always a company that sneaks in some bad news in December in the hopes that no one will notice. So if that does happen, you can be sure to find it on Ghostmail. But onwards to Nampak. So yeah, Nampak has released results now for the year ended September. It was quite an interesting build-up to results. They first released a trading statement, and then it seems as though major shareholders were not happy with what they saw, and the market response certainly suggested that. So they went back to management and said, hey, please can we have some more detail to understand these numbers? So then they released a supplementary trading statement, and then they've gone and released their full results now. So obviously lots and lots of focus on what's going on at Nampak. And that's because Nampak is in the middle of a turnaround. And that can obviously go really well or it can go really badly. I think that the management team at Nampak are doing about as good a job as anyone could really expect. They've obviously had to sell off a whole lot of non-core operations. They need to manage the banking relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And if you go and have a look at their continuing operations, then you will find pretty decent stuff, actually. I mean, revenue growth is obviously not a huge percentage, but you can't possibly expect that from Nampak. 4% in Beverage South Africa, 7% in Beverage Angola. Unfortunately, down 7% in Diversified South Africa. So group revenue from continuing operations only up 1%, not exciting. But the good news story sits in the profitability. And in that case, EBITDA is up pretty much across the board, really, really strongly. Cash generated from operations more than doubled, up to 1.6 billion rand. Net finance costs down really strongly. So, you know, it's a solid outcome from continuing operations. And it seems like maybe the market was expecting a little bit more, but I think people also need to be realistic about how difficult that business is to run. You know, yes, Nampak's turnaround is working, but it is still a complex business, lots of African exposure, and just a lot of stuff that can go wrong along the way. And I think the market needs to be realistic about that.
Turn our attention to a company that for a long time was primarily in the media sector and now is a sprawling multinational, and that's Naspers Process. New CEO Fabricio Bloisi came to the market a little while ago, and you write in your newsletter that you liked him. Perhaps tell us why and give us a bit of an indication of what is happening at Naspers.
Yeah, I really do like Fabricio Bloisi. There's just something about him that I enjoy. Just, you know, maybe it's just he's so different to Bob van Dijk, and maybe that's what I like about him. So, you know, you've got to go back a few years for Process Naspers to the height of the pandemic when you had very slick investment banker Bob van Dijk telling everyone about market share and capital allocation and how they're just buying up these market positions. There was no real focus on profitability. He was just taking this monumental war chest and literally throwing it at acquisitions and hoping that something would stick. It's not a good approach. And eventually the board of Naspers Process, along with the shareholders, got tired of it. And so in came Fabricio Bloisi. And what's cool with him is that he is the right sort of person to be running Process because he's walked the journey of a founder. You know, he went and bought up iFood several years ago. He then scaled that business and then he subsequently sold it to the group. That's how, you know, he found his way there. So he is a proper operator of businesses. He understands how to make something profitable. He understands how to scale it. He's not just a banker in a nice suit who allocates capital. Those people, respectfully, are quite easy to find. It's much harder to find business operators who, you know, are able to do the kind of thing that Bloisi can do. So he has a team around him of capital allocators, and that's good. He now is pushing this narrative around profitability. He's forcing the underlying businesses to actually have proper business cases. And where there are non-core exposures in the group, they are getting rid of them. They've sold their stakes in Trip.com and Taz. They sold their stake in Swiggy after the IPO. You'll have to forgive all these funny names, but, you know, welcome to the tech world. And when you look through all of this, they are telling a good news story in stuff like e-commerce, for example, where they are now making profits. There's great results coming through from businesses like iFood, which is the one that Bloisi obviously understands the best. The one other thing that I'll touch on, actually, because it's just so relevant to people listening to this, would be Takealot. I'm actually not sure if you can get Takealot in Namibia, but you can certainly get it in South Africa. Revenue was up 11% in this period, and Mr. D was up 12%. So very competitive environment in South Africa, and that obviously sits inside Naspers. But still, double-digit growth, that tells you that e-commerce adoption is on the up in the region. And this is certainly the case across the world. We're seeing better and better e-commerce results from other big players like Walmart, Amazon. Prosus sits very, very nicely in this trend. Luizy's putting all the pressure on the business to be profitable. So it just feels like things are going well there, and the share price certainly reflects that as well.
Let's turn our attention to the financial services sector. Standard Bank, which is quite a large African business, also operating here in Namibia, have given a voluntary update for the 10 months to October. I mean, interesting voluntary updates. It's always good when companies are willing to communicate with shareholders. But anything outside of the regular mid-year, end-year, and the various announcements that go with that, is it odd? And is it something that indicates potentially a bit of a surprise for shareholders in the next couple of months? And secondly, it really exposes the weakness of many African businesses, which is local currency fluctuations, which have hurt enormous businesses like MTN and MultiChoice, especially in Nigeria and Kenya and in other territories in the last while. It seems even the banks aren't immune to these sorts of fluctuations.
So Standard Bank doing a 10-month update, yes, it's an unusual thing in that there's no regulatory requirement for them to do that, but I think it's great that they do it. It's not necessarily bad news. It's also not necessarily good news. It's just, it is what it is, basically. It's an update for the 10 months, and it's because the banks do quite a good job of keeping the market updated with how they are doing. I wish more companies would do this kind of thing. I mean, obviously, at the other end of the spectrum, we see ridiculous stuff happen sometimes among small caps, like a trading statement will come out, and then, you know, 20 minutes later, the results will come out. It's like, that's exactly how it's not supposed to work. You know, the trading statement is supposed to be the early warning system. And then at the other end of the spectrum, up here, you get the banks where they just go and do stuff like voluntary updates for a 10-month period. So it's lovely to see. It's also quite light on precise updates, you know, because again, this is now not something that they're forced to do. This is something that they are choosing to do. Instead of giving you precise percentage growth on certain things, they are rather giving you a narrative like earnings growth in the mid-teens on a constant currency basis. Now, that's all good and well, but unfortunately, African currencies have been pretty weak, even against the rand. And so by the time Standard Bank goes and reports in rands, it means they're actually sitting with low to mid single digit growth. Not ideal, even though they are growing so quickly in Africa. This is not something that South African shareholders are not used to, because, you know, we've seen this before in MultiChoice, we've seen this in MTN, etc. We know that these African currencies can really put strain on the South African results. But still, Standard Bank's a great business. They've got a really, really strong footprint. And in a year where the rand maybe hadn't done so well, you know, these results would look a lot better. But as it is, they're still growing. Group return on equity is in the target range, and earnings growth is higher than revenue growth. So you can't really ask for much more than that.
And then lastly, Ghost, perhaps just as we almost get to call 2024 to a close. And it's surprising how quickly these years now tick past. COVID, some 4 years distant already, but increasingly not being used as an excuse for everything, which is refreshing. Perhaps what you can do is just give us an indication of what are the big macros to expect or to think about from an investing perspective in 2025. Obviously, geopolitics playing an enormous role in what happens now in the world, and we're being exposed to things happening in real time. But just give us a view on as you look forward into 2025 for the Southern African sector or area, what sort of things should investors be taking into account?
Thanks, Gary. That's a great way to end off the show and certainly the year for this segment. I think there are a couple of things that come to mind. The first one would be local results. Just keep an eye out for whether South African companies, and by extension those operating in Namibia, are actually posting the sort of results that the market is hoping to see. We've obviously had a huge uptick in share prices this year based on sentiment and the GNU and decreasing interest rates and this ongoing belief that things are going to get better. Well, now they actually need to be better. And it's been a little bit mixed in that regard, I've got to say. There are some pockets of growth. There are some areas that are starting to look like things are getting better, but there are others that are looking a bit dicey. So I think first quarter of the coming year is going to be all about earnings releases and whether or not the growth is actually coming through as people expect. if there's disappointment there, there's lots of room for downside on the local market. So I think be cautious. If it's decent, then I think a lot of that has been priced in. And if it's really strong, then sure, there might be further upside. So I think locally, that's the thing to keep an eye on. Internationally, it's going to be all about how this new political administration in the US plays out. From an emerging market perspective, where we all sit, it's all about tariffs. It's all about the approach that the Trump administration takes to that kind of thing. I mean, some of the comments we've already seen aimed at the BRICS suggest that Trump is not going to take the soft approach here. I also don't think he can go and put huge tariffs on everything the BRICS countries send to the US, because the US economy will find itself in serious trouble very quickly. So in true Trump style, you know, a lot of it is just nonsense, bluntly, and some of it is a real threat. Somewhere in the middle is probably what would happen. And I think that could have a big effect on, for example, inflation. So some of his policies do seem quite inflationary. If that happens, then got to be quite careful of whether or not interest rates will actually drop the way people are hoping. If they don't, then that will impact equity values, because some of the uptick we've seen is in anticipation of decreasing interest rates. So that's something to be aware of. And then, of course, the impact on South Africa of a very pro-US type policy, which is, you know, what we would expect to see from someone whose entire election was won on Make America Great Again. You know, what does that mean for emerging markets? What does that mean for China as a huge trading partner for us? What does it mean for commodities? So I don't necessarily think this coming year is going to be amazing for emerging markets. I'm very grateful for how things played out for South Africa politically in the last year, because I think it's given us a fighting chance. But I would encourage some caution going into next year. I think there's a lot of uncertainty. There always is. But in particular, at the moment, it feels that way. Just keep an eye on those earnings in the first quarter. And let's see what's really going on out there.
All right, Ghost, we'll leave it at that. Let's call 2024 a wrap. And we'll chat to you again in January, wherever you may be ghosting. Let's hope you get into the spirit of things. Bad jokes are the way we end the year. That's it for this week and this year's edition of Ghostbiz. We hope you've enjoyed hearing about many of the companies that your investments may be exposed to, or that influence your thinking on how our local economies are faring. As always, we welcome your feedback, and you can let us know if there's things we're missing or things you'd like to hear about. And you can get hold of us via our normal social media stuff. This is available also as a podcast wherever you pick up your podcasts. So make sure if you've missed anything or you want to catch up on any previous Ghostbiz episodes that you can, just go to where your podcasts are, subscribe, and all that content will be there. From all of us here at The Business Report, take the opportunity to wish you a wonderful festive season. May you travel safely, and may we all get back together again in January to continue our journey forward into the future.